Good evening. We'll be taking our lesson this evening from Proverbs chapter 24 in verse 30 there. While you're turning over to those verses, welcome everyone to the services this evening. And certainly I appreciate the prayers that have been mentioned on my behalf. It's my prayer also that the things we study this evening be in strict accordance to God's will and be edifying unto us all. As I said, we'll be beginning in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. The verses there begin, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thou want as an armed man. The writer here looks at the man discussed in these verses and describes a man who appears to us to have everything that he needs to provide for himself in his life. He has a field that he can cultivate and grow produce to either provide food for himself or provide a commodity that he could sell and then provide for himself. But he has everything that he needs to provide for himself. He has a wall that surrounds this land, built and constructed to divide his land from others, to protect it from possibly grazing animals, possibly protect it from the elements of nature, from things blowing in, that sort of thing. But yet we also find that the author here says that he finds fault with the man. He finds no fault with the land or the area that would prevent this man from producing something that would be beneficial to him, but rather finds fault with the man himself. And he labels this man slothful or void of understanding. He has allowed his fields to be covered with thorns and nettles, and he allows his means of producing food to become contaminated. His fence, his line of defense, his dividing line, has been left to ruin, and ruin it has, as the author writes here. The result of his inaction, the writer says, is poverty and want for this man. And so this evening, as the writer has done here, we want to look upon this and see and receive instruction from it, from these few verses. You know, as Christian, Christ has given us everything that we need to be fruitful spiritually. He has given us His Word that we may gain in instruction in how He wants us to live and how to move to a life with Him after this life is over. And He's given His life, His sacrifice, that we might be clean and have a relationship with God. And when we become members of a congregation or through members of the church through baptism, we are good ground. Christ Himself refers to this in His illustration in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23. It says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it." You know, when we hear and understand God's word, the seed, we are called good soil, and we are capable of producing. In fact, the verse continues on and says that we will bring forth fruit. It says, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we, like the man who owns a field in our Proverbs passage, has ground capable of producing fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Just as the man spoken of in the writer in Proverbs, we are to separate ourselves from unclean things, to build a fence, a division, a barrier to divide us from the things of this world. You know, working for the electric company, you get to spend a lot of time in the alley, either checking meters or looking to provide service to a customer. And as you're in an alley, you see lots of different fences and lots of different backyards as you're looking to just do your daily job. And as you look into people's backyards, some people have taken great care with their backyard and with their fences. They've pruned it. They've worked on it. They've a lot of sweat and labor in those backyards. And they're free of weeds. They're just perfect, almost like golf courses. They take time and effort to produce fruit, to produce prize-winning flowers and fruit and vegetables and things of that sort and make them beautiful. But you also see others that have allowed their backyards to their field to go the other way, if you will, be covered with weeds and trash and debris. And they've allowed their fence to be torn down. In fact, in some cases, the fence has large holes in it. You can walk in and out, come and go as you want through that. Some people have done that. It's similar to what the writer speaks of the man here. And this evening, I want to look at the instruction given to us in this parable here in Proverbs, and to look about what the condition of the man's field and see if we can prevent that in our lives spiritually. You know, have we allowed our ground to be like the man in Proverbs, with the cares of the world laid in it, have grown up in it to produce trash in our lives? Where there's a fence, have we allowed it to fall, to fall to the ground, allow Satan to come and go into our lives? We're going to look at Proverbs here, chapter 24 and verse 30, and see what the writer has left there for us for instruction. So going back to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30, it says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." You know, the man in this parable is considered slothful and a man void of understanding. He has no wisdom. He has no knowledge. Lazy is how he is labeled, and that he has no wisdom. So how does the Lord view the slothful or the lazy? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, hear the parable of the talents. Jesus here says, "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strowed." Now here in this parable, we know what has gone on, that the master has come and he has given five talents to one, two talents to another, and one to another. And the man with five made ten, the man with two made four, but the man with one buried it in the ground and didn't produce anything. And as a result, he tells him, "You are a wicked and slothful servant. You were lazy because you didn't do anything with the talent that I've given to you." And later in the story, we find out that he's cast into darkness. He's punished for that. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Here we're encouraged to be diligent, to be working toward those things that allow us to have an inheritance of the promise, and that promise is to be with Christ in heaven when this life is over. We're not to be idle, but we're to be working for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are laboring for God. We are laboring with God to produce fruit. It states here that we are God's husbandry. And in stating that God has bestowed upon us the labor of tillage or culture of bearing fruit. He has put us in the business of being farmers for him to produce fruit, to manage his ground, and to produce from the land that he has given us. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous." And also in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, "Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great." The Lord says that the harvest is great. The opportunity is unlimited. There are many hearts, many souls ready to receive the truth. A very encouraging and uplifting statement for us. But he also closes these verses with a very sombering comment on the workforce. "Pray ye therefore," it says, "but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." He says the laborers are few. The harvest is great. There's many to be out there to be taken in. But the laborers are few. Those working in the harvest are few. Are you a laborer? Am I a laborer? Or are we slothful? Are we lazy? Are we idle, as the man in Proverbs, watching as that good ground that God has given us allows, and just watching it standing by idly, and watching the world blow into it, and allowing the harvest to be lost? Second, as we look back at our verse in Proverbs, the writer depicts the production of an idle man, and as we read further through our parable in Proverbs, the writer shows us what the slothful man produces, and it gives us a great comparison to weigh what our production is and weigh it against it. Proverbs 24 and verse 31, the writer says, "And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof." The field of the vineyard of this lazy man has been left idle so long that it has been covered with thorns and nettles, with weeds, if you will. And by refusing to work in the field to fail to remove the weeds and the rubbish that were in it, he's allowed them to rise up and to multiply and to take gain of this field, covering so much into the entirety that it's point that one could look at the field and say, this is what he grows. He doesn't produce a crop, but he grows weeds. That's what the business he's in at this point. So for us spiritually, what are the thorns and nettles? Well, Christ actually tells us what these are in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22. It said, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." These are the cares of the world, the misleading of worldly riches. Just as the thorns choke the fruit out of the slothful man's field, so will the things of the world choke the word out of our lives, and we will find ourselves unfruitful. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through, with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." It says here that the temptations of this world can drown men. And by allowing these things to be planted into our lives, we are giving away ground to the spiritual briars and weeds that can overtake our soul. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Luke 21 verse 34 says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares." You know, Christ tells us here to take heed. You know, I would venture to say that a lot of us don't have trouble with surfeiting or gluttony or with drunkenness, but that cares of life, that one's sneaky, I think, for all of us. I know it is for me, that it's very easy for the cares of life to become, for us to become entrapped in the cares of life, for myself to become in cares of life. And Jeff had a very good lesson last week about that, about how we can get caught up with work, caught up with money and the things that we covet and that sort of thing. The stresses of this world, if you will, we can get caught up with that, and we can get so consumed with that we can allow that to creep into our spiritual life, so that we're not working to keep those things out of our lives, to keep them out of the field, and they grow up and consume us. And Christ tells us here to take heed that the cares of this life can overtake us at any time, and we must be diligent laborers pruning these things out of our life, or even better, to prevent them from even taking hold in our life, to keep them out completely. Looking back at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, it informs us how we can prevent these things in our lives, to prevent these thorns. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." And Barry talked about that this morning, that we flee these things. We don't drag them along or get as close to them as we can, but we flee and we run away from these things. And we need to remove the cares of the world from us and follow the things of God. And in order to recognize the things of God, we need to labor in His Word and gain knowledge of it. We don't need to have that lack of understanding that the man did, but we need to have knowledge of God's will. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If we have these things in our life and they abound, they grow, you know, then we'll always have knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, these verses say. You know, when you have a yard and you plant grass, whether it my experience is in fescue and Bermuda. When you have it and you take care of it and you nurture it, it becomes strong and rooted. And as weeds blow in, the seeds of weed blow in, that good grass will actually choke that stuff out. It'll keep the weeds out. And that's how the Word of God is. When we grow in it and we abound in these things that this verse talks about, it will prevent those things of the world from coming into our lives. It will abound and we'll have great knowledge that we need to walk in this life. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We need to grow in knowledge. And in doing so, it tells us that we'll grow in grace. And if we continue to work in God's Word, we will continue to grow in that knowledge. And the fruits that we will produce will be the fruits of that knowledge. And we will not have void of understanding as the man in Proverbs had. And we will not produce the thorns or nettles that the sinful finds in his fields. Third, if we return back to our passage in Proverbs, I want to look at the lesson of the stone wall. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 31. In the latter part of that verse, it says, "And the stone wall thereof was broken down." You know, the idle man in this parable has allowed the stone fence to become broken down, and he no longer had separation between him and the land that surrounded him. He had no longer separation between what the wind would blow through, or the trash that would come through, or maybe even somebody that wanted to come in upon his land. You know, if we are truly working for God, we will be separated from the world. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when you shall separate, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the son of man's sake." You know, if we are working in Christ and growing in his knowledge and putting that knowledge in our life, the world will separate itself from us. We'll separate ourselves from the world. They'll go a different direction than we'll go. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, Christ says, "Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." You know, in this example here, it shows and illustrates that Christ has come to divide one from another. He come to divide the sinner from the saint, to separate those that are idle and from those that will labor for him. When we choose to follow Christ, we choose to separate ourselves from the world by following the will of God and not the will of the world. Just as the man in our parable, we have built a wall between us and the teachings of man. But unlike the slothful man, we need to continue to maintain that division. You know, not only did the man fail to work in his field, he failed to work on that fence that kept the things of the world out of his field. And we need to work on that, to keep the things out of our lives, to work on that division. And if we follow the Word of God, we'll naturally have that division, and we'll flee from those things. We'll flee from those things, as Barry talked about this morning. So what is it that divides us from the world? What is our wall? Well, it's the Word of God, the teachings and lessons in the Bible that build the wall that separates us from the world. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Studying God's Word allows us to maintain that wall. If we're a workman in God's Word, then we'll be a workman upon our wall and upon our field. Through constant study, we strengthen our fence that helps keep the evils of the world out of our life. But what of the man in our parable? Through his lack of wisdom, he has allowed his fence to be broken down. By refusing to strengthen the weak areas of his wall, by laying by or not performing the necessary maintenance in his wall, it is crumbled and allowed the things to come in upon his land. And if we choose to be idle and not to grow in God's Word, the wall between the world and our lives will deteriorate. And as that wall begins to crumble, a little more of the world will blow in upon our field. And if we still refuse to repair that fence, pretty soon the wall will fail. And there will be no division between the world and between us. Our fields are then grown over with thorns and nettles and will cover the ground. And if we have no division between us and the world, and if our fence falls, Satan will come and grow as he pleases. Each person must ask himself, am I a laborer for God or am I a slothful servant? Christ says to answer this, we must look at our fruits. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Christ says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You know, when we take a look at our lives, we've got to ask ourselves, am I doing what God says I need to be? Am I a workman for him? Or am I lazy? Am I idle? Christ tells us that you can tell how you are in your life by what is in your life, the fruit that you produce. Does your life consist of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the things that we read about earlier? If it does, then I encourage you to continue in that and continue in the Word of God. Or does your life consist of cares and riches and pleasures of this life? Does it consist of the stresses of this world? Does your life contain many foolish and hurtful lusts, which in the end result in many sorrows? Proverbs 24 and verse 34 tells us what the end is. It says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth in thy want as an armed man, or traveleth in thy want as an armed man. You know, the writer of this parable finishes with the fate of this slothful man. It says that poverty will be his fate, and it will come with surety, and it will come with an irresistible fury. You know, the same awaits for those who refuse to wait and to work and labor for the Lord and sit idly by. Poverty of the soul awaits, and so does an angry God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8, it tells us, but he that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. You know, if we fail to work in our lives, to fail to gain knowledge and understanding of God's word, and to work in our lives and use that in our lives to work in the field that he has blessed us with, it tells us that the one who bears thorns and briars will be rejected, and certainly that's the case. You know, if you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized into Christ's church, there's no separation between you and the world. You haven't yet put that dividing line between you and begin working to separate and to flee from that. If you are a Christian, but you've allowed the cares of this world to blow into your field of your life, or allowed your fence or that security to be torn down, you have an opportunity to correct that this evening. If there be one in either state, we ask you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.